on 2FM with Green Farm. B vitamins equal big benefits. The new Green Farm added benefits range is packed with essential B vitamins. Available in store now. Game on, weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Well, Gurumila Mahagwiv, the two Johnnies kicking us off in perfect fashion as always. It's Friday the 22nd of April. I'm Shane Dawson and you're listening to Game On. Coming up this evening, Shane McGrath and Neil Ewing set us up for a weekend of action-packed Gaelic games as the championship continues at pace. In association football, we've a Dublin derby and a Merseyside derby and much more besides in the company of Alan Colley and Fergal Brennan. Plus, we've Jane Mangan on racing, John Kenny at the Irish Open in swimming, and in boxing, Gavin Casey previews Fury versus White. As always, if you want to get in touch, you can do so by dropping us a text on 51552 or tweet at Game On 2FM.
Game On 2FM.
Yes, hello there. It's great to have your company in this Friday evening. Shane Dawson here. You're listening to Game On. And Alan Colley joins me in studio. A couple of news headlines just to get through before we get into the nuts and bolts of this evening's show. Starting with rugby union, Molly Scuffle McCabe will make her Ireland debut on Sunday against England, while Niamh Byrne is set to earn her first cap off the bench. Seven of the panel have been moved to the seven setup to prepare for a World Cup series event in Canada and are unavailable for selection for the round four encounter at Welford Road. Lock Nicola Friday captains Ireland. 24-year-old Scuffle McCabe joins Aoife Doyle and the recalled Emer Considine in Ireland's back three, with the experienced Sene Nayupu returning to the green jersey in midfield alongside Enya Breen. Robbie Henshaw has agreed to extend his Ireland and Leinster contract to July 2025. The two-time Six Nations winner with Ireland, who also featured at two World Cups, has 57 international caps to date. From rugby football to association football, and former Republic of Ireland, Burnley and Wolves defender Stephen Ward has announced his retirement, aged 36. Ward won 50 Ireland caps, scoring three goals for Ireland and appearing at €2 in 2012 and 2016. Potentially big news for soccer in Galway, because Galway United today confirmed that planning permission has been submitted for Mountain South in Athenry. The facility at 110 acres in total size will see a world-class base for Galway United Football Club created in Athenry, County Galway, if planning permission is granted. The base is a shared facility which will be shared with Connacht Hockey. The Comer Centre of Excellence is included, with a two-storey building including several dressing rooms, gyms, indoor multi-purpose halls, cafe, canteens, club shop and several offices, suites and more. There will be three grass football pitches and three Astros, along with two more fully enclosed Astros and a potential soccer dome. In Gaelic games, Kerry GAA has agreed to stage their Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final against Cork and Porky Rin on the 7th of May, following consultation with the players and management teams. It will be interesting to see what comes of that. That is in the Munster Council's hands now as to where that will be played. Of course, their normal home venue in Porky Cueve is unavailable due to an Ed Sheeran concert. And finally, my favourite bit of news I stumbled across on Twitter today. Alan, you'll enjoy this as well, given you're a good snooker man. It is where a pigeon stopped play at the World Championships at the Crucible, jumping onto the table during Mark's Selby versus Jan Bing Tao. As always, you can find full details on these stories, perhaps not the pigeon one, and much more besides on the RT Sport website. Alan Colley, great to have your company. I'm not going to go to you with the pigeon story. I'm going to stick with your expert field of soccer. And Stephen Ward, a great servant to Irish football, has finally hung up his boots.
Evening, Shane, yeah. Some might argue the snooker might be my expert field, to be honest. I do love the snooker.
Can you play? Are you good?
I'm not bad.
Okay.
I'm not bad, I have to say.
Betting your air kicking the ball.
Misspent youth. 53 break at 11 or 12, Shane.
Not bad. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
We used to run a snooker club down home, so there was a lot of Mitch in school down at the snooker hall and all sorts. But I've been over to the Crucible many times, as I mentioned on the show, numerous occasions, and in an amazing place. Funny, I was watching that match this afternoon though, and I didn't see the pigeon incident. I must have been going down to the shower or something to get changed and get ready to come over here, Shane. But it is shaping up really well. But sorry, to answer your question about Stephen Ward,
yeah,
I would have been playing in the league when Stephen just broke on the scene.
Okay.
And funnily enough, I'm not sure, well, League of Ireland people would remember, but he broke onto the Bohemians team that time as a centre forward and left winger. And if you had to say it to me back then he would have went on to achieve all he has achieved, I probably would have been surprised, to be honest with you. He was very talented, all right, but you have to remember it was around the time when the Irish team had a lot of players dotted around the Premier League.
Of course,
the Robbie Keanes, the Damien Duffs, all that. So it was much harder maybe than what it is now for a younger lad to break through. But he's carved out an absolutely brilliant career for himself, to play two major tournaments, 50 caps as well. He's played in the Premier League, obviously, at the highest level for years and years. So he's had a great career for himself, really, Stephen, and good luck to him in retirement.
Absolutely, yeah, well said. And couldn't agree more with you, Alan. Alan, you'll be sticking around because we'll be chatting soccer a little bit later on with Fergal Brennan. But first, we turn our attention to hurling. But before we do so, just time to mention our competition, because there's been great interest in this all week. It is indeed the Punchestown Festival, which returns next week from Tuesday the 26th to Saturday the 30th of April. And 2FM will be there as we enjoy one of Ireland's favourite social and sporting events. And to celebrate, well, we have two pairs of Flexi Reserved Enclosure tickets to give away. You can enjoy all the extras of the Reserved Enclosure, which is the social hub of the event, with amazing trackside viewing, great live music and bars all oozing in style. So, to begin with a chance to win, just answer the following question. What horse took her unbeaten tally to 15 at the Cheltenham Festival and will aim to make it 16 in the Punchestown Champion Hurdle? Text your answer, your name, your county and your email address to 51552. As always, RTE competition terms and conditions apply. See 2fm.ie for details.
Game on.
Hurling.
Now, as promised, we turn our attention to hurling in the company of Shane McGrath. Shane, well, the hurling championship is in full swing now and there are some tasty matches to feast on after the Easter clashes. To paraphrase your good self, Shane, and stick with your food analogies that were heard on RT Radio 1 last weekend, hopefully we will see some action that is as filling as a dark chocolate Easter egg with a bit of bite as some undercooked broccoli. I loved your vivid descriptions there last weekend. But jokes aside, so much to look forward to, Shane, this week. Shall we begin with Munster Limerick versus Waterford? Limerick obviously started with a bang last Sunday in Cork and they are top of the billing again in what was described on the RT Sport website as a Goliath versus Goliath in waiting clash against Waterford at home in Limerick. Obviously no Kyle Hayes due to injury. Say what you want about Limerick in the league, they look like a serious outfit again last weekend. Shane, should we expect to see the same come Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know, Shane. It's a hard one because, so you've no Kyle Hayes, you've no Peter Casey, you've no Shamie Flanagan. I mean, no matter what the team is, you know, what sport it is, you're missing three real top players, you know, and you're going down into your subs bench. Now, albeit their subs bench, they got 4 points after subs bench last day, and I think the whole country, you know, more and more becoming more familiar with the name Cathal O'Neill now. Came on, scored 2 points from play. Looks really, really comfortable playing senior into county hurling. I think Limerick were back to their best, albeit that Cork were, I don't want to use this word, maybe I should or not, but maybe a disgrace. I think Roy Keane summed up United very well there, Alan, the other night. He said he's not even mad anymore, he's just disappointed. And I think the same could be said for a lot of Cork hurling fans at the moment. I think they're not even mad now, they're just maybe disillusioned and disappointed with what's going on. So look, that's Cork, that's another story for another day. But Limerick back to their best. I think they're getting up to their shots target. They got 47 shots off against Cork, scored 216 from turnover. So that's their work rate, their ability to get the ball to the man in the best position. It looked really good, albeit against an opposition, Shane, that didn't really lay it loving them. But I think it's a massive one for Liam Cahill, Shane, because I think this is his fourth time playing championship hurling against Limerick, against John Kiley. And he hasn't bet them yet. Lost the Munster final in 2020. Lost the All-Ireland final in 2020 by 11 points. Lost the All-Ireland semi-final in 2021 by 11 points. So I think Shane is going to have to set up differently now. And I think, in my opinion, I think himself and Mikey Beavens are probably looking at this game for the last 8 or 9 months since they knew that this was coming. And I think we're going to see something different from Waterford. I think you can see it already, Shane, in that Jack Fagan was in the forwards last year. He's wing back now. Neil Montgomery's in at wing forward. Patrick Curran was named corner forward last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. He's out in the wing now. You know, Desi Hutchins, a more experienced player. Mikey Kiley's a regular starter. Cormac Daly's in the team. Tadhg Na Burka is back at six. Bennett was even out in the half forward line. He's gone to 14 now. And Conor Gleeson is back as well. So I suppose, like, what I'm trying to say is I think Waterford are going at this differently because Liam Cahill, Shane, knows he has to. And I think from all those players and the positions that they are, I think that's how they're going to go at it differently. Maybe not their style of play, But I think the men on the field and the positions that they're in will definitely be different this time.
It will be interesting to see how Waterford line up tactically as well. Listen, before we move on to the other match in the Munster Championship, so standout matchups. You mentioned Tadhg De Burka at six. It'll be interesting to see the battle on between De Burka and Lynch and how crucial that will be. Who else will have a big, big part to play in terms of matchups and key factor battles?
I just go through a few of them here for you because they're all over the field, really. Sean Finn versus Desi Hutchison. Will he follow him out the field? Will Sean Finn hold his own? Declan Hannan versus Jack Prendergast, same thing. Will Declan Hannan sit in the pocket or will he be forced maybe to follow Jack Prendergast if he gets on a ladder ball? He normally doesn't, so I don't expect him to. I think Caelum Lyons is named midfield, so if he's marking Will O'Donoghue, I think that'll be an unbelievable battle. And, you know, even Conor Gleeson, one of the top man markers for Waterford, I think he'll pick up Aaron Gillan. There's another one. And just going by the Waterford team that was named earlier this evening, Shane, as well, Austin Gleeson doesn't seem to be starting. I heard a great stat about him, Shane Stapleton, there during the week. In his second half alone against Tip, he got on the ball 18 times between taking sidelines, being involved in open play. So he's not down to start. Might see a curveball if he comes on. And if he comes on, where will he go? Who'll pick him up? Dermot Burns, Dan Morrissey. But I think you've number one and number two in the country playing each other in the Gaelic rounds tomorrow night, Shane. And I expect a real classic game, hopefully.
Absolutely, yeah. Here's hoping, and I think they are the sentiments of all hurling fans across the country. Hopefully it does have the makings of a good one. Interesting, you mentioned there, you know, Ozzie Gleeson and Jamie Barron both held in reserve by Liam Cahill, so we'll be interesting to see what happens. Sticking with Munster, but moving on to Sunday, 2 o'clock in Thurles, Tip v Clare. Shane O'Donnell back in contention for Clare, which is great to see for the game. I don't know how to predict Clare, to be honest, when I look at their panel. What sort of challenge will they pose to Tipperary? And this is a Tipperary side under a wee bit of pressure as well.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. Like, everybody in Tip and I think everybody even outside were delighted with the performance Tip gave. You know, if you would have said that we'd be 3 or 4 points within Waterford, you know, you would have taken it. And at the same time, you know, the game was there for them as well. There were chances for Tip to win the game. So I'm sure the group are buzzing this week. I'm sure they got great confidence from it. But at the end of the day, Shane, as you said, this is the one they have to win now. If they don't win this, you're 0 points from two games, and it's looking very, very hard to get through, because next for Tip is Limerick in the Gaelic rounds, and you know, and then the last game is against Cork, and you just don't know what Cork are going to do. Are they going to come back and be a massive backlash in them? So this is massive for Tip. If you talk about Clare for a second, like, I'll name some of the lads they could have in their forwards, right? Ryan Taylor, Shane Meehan, Peter Duggan, Aaron Shanahan, Shane O'Donnell, Mark Rogers, Colin Malone, David Fitz. I love this guy, Patrick Crotty, as well. He's a real throwback to old school, socks up, left-handed. And, of course, the legend that is Tony Kelly. So, like, Clare have so much potential to, you know, if they get their best players on the field. I think if Shane O'Donnell's back, it's absolutely huge. And I would love to see the battle between him and Cathal Barrett there in Thurles on Sunday, if he is named, because Cathal would love that as well. He'd love that challenge. And Shane O'Donnell, for me, behind Tony Kelly, is the top guy with possessions, scores, assists. He's massive to Clare and what Clare want to do. And if they can get him back on the field and in his best form, he's a massive push onto him. But it's going to be a very, very, it's going to be a very tough one as well to call it in Thurles. It's a big one for the younger players from Tip. Talk Craig Morgan was outstanding the last day. He'll have a big test. Maybe will he follow Tony Kelly? I don't know. Tommy Dunn is a big loss from the sideline, Shane. People don't know Tommy Dunn is the coach, Tipperary. He got a 3-month suspension, which actually he's not even allowed with the team for training or anything. So I think Tipper maybe going to appeal that. But he's a big loss from the sideline as a coach. He's a great hurling brain, and Colin Bonner would even admit that himself. So look, it's a massive, massive game for both teams. And I think if whoever can win this game has a massive chance of getting in the top three in Munster.
I think you've left our Tipperary listeners there in a cold sweat when just reeling off the names of those Clare forwards. And it will be interesting to see how those younger guys stand up, because they are under a bit of pressure. And you mentioned Morgan there, really good debut. Four debutants, done really well last week. And perhaps this is when we might notice those leaders missing from the Tip panel there, when they need a big performance in front of what will be, I suppose it's fair to say, Shane, an expectant home crowd.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But like, I suppose the other side of it, Shane, like, I mean, if all to say the top Tip players, if they had had a really good game for the whole 70-75 minutes against Waterford. You know, they could have been, the result could have been different. Like, J.O. was quite by his standards. Mikey Breen started off brilliantly, drifted out of it. You know, like, there's two big guns, like, for us normally. I think Dan McCormack has definitely put himself in the fray for a starting position now as well. He came on and he was really, really good and has a massive impact when he came on. And the younger guys then, the likes of Dylan Quirk, I thought was very solid. You know, Mark Keogh got his two goals. Conor Bow was going well. I think he popped out his finger, had to get it popped back in again on the pitch. So I think the Tip crowd, while they're happy with the performance, I think we need a result now. And the group need a result. Everyone needs a result. Because if you have nothing from two games, Shane, I think 4 points would go massively to getting you third place in Munster. And to get you out of Munster and into an All-Ireland qualifier series. But if you don't win Sunday, Clare realise as well, Cork are coming down the tunnel for them next on May the 1st. So it's massive pressure. I hope that Tip will take great confidence from what they did against Waterford, build on it, and the home crowd get behind them and just get over the line against Clare on Sunday, Shane.
Okay, taking a look at Leinster, 3 matches all on Saturday evening. First up, 5 Bells in Wexford. It's a meeting of Wexford and Dublin last weekend. Wexford pickpocketed a point against Galway as Leash Inn came to their rescue. And Dublin, well, they were bang average, to say the least, in everything they did against Leash, but still came away with a win. Both teams will be looking for a better 70 minutes tomorrow, you would imagine, Shane.
Yeah, they will. Look, I was down at the game, as I said, Shane. It was cruel first half, very, very bad. Maybe there was a lot of nerves, I don't know what it was, but it was fierce poor watching. Like, Galway should have been out of sight by half time, the 10 wides. Credit to Wexford, like, they hung in the game, in my opinion, they hung into a game that they probably shouldn't have been in if Galway took the right shot options and got the ball to the man in the best position. But they'll take massive confidence from that, and I'll tell you, if there's a few moves to get a couple of more thousand in the terraces there at the weekend, Wexford Park, I was down there myself last Saturday when the game was tight and the crowd was needed, they get behind their team. There was a big following there. Get a few more there now, and if this gets tight, that Wexford crowd, in my opinion, are definitely worth 2 or 3 points to any team. I thought Conor McDonald really stood up, was a real leader for them when things weren't going well. You know, got 1-2 from play, had massive battle with Dahi Burke as well. I don't think Lee Chin is down to start, but five points, 4 frees and a point from play. But even when he came on, Shane, he lifted the whole thing. So if he doesn't start, he's a massive, massive impact off the bench for Darry Egan. Like, and even Rory O'Connor, who was, you know, very close, probably was player of the league, himself and Stephen Bennett. Like, he had a really, really hard time with Jack Grealish. Maybe some fouling going on, hard to know, you know, cornerback play. He only got a point from play, so there'll be a bigger day in him. And I just feel with everything that went on in the Dublin Leash game, like, Dublin should have won that game. And the Roland scores a free, long range free into injury time, brings it back to 3 points. Next thing, Leash get a free. And, you know, it's a much closer contest than it should have been. But, you know, I just feel, Shane, right, that Dublin are very, very reliant on one guy in particular, and it's Donal Burke. Like, he scored 13 points against Leash. He got 5 from play. I think Wexford have a guy in Simon Dunne who did a brilliant job in Evan Island the last day. He got taken off. He did absolutely nothing. He followed him everywhere. You might see a similar thing with Simon Dunne, who maybe detailed to Mark Donald Burke. And if he can curb his influence, I think it'll go a long way for Wexford with the home crowd and maybe with Dublin. You know, it'll either go one way or the other for Dublin. There'll be a big backlash in them, or maybe the form just isn't good. And maybe what we're seeing from the league, where they were picking the same 11, 12 players all the time, maybe Matty Kane just doesn't have the group. And that's why I just feel with the home advantage and with the confidence Wexford got from a draw that felt like a win to them, really, I think they're going to turn over the Dubs there tomorrow in Wexford Park.
Okay, you mentioned a big backlash, and we'll group in the other two Leinster matches together. So 5:30 throw in with Kilkenny having home advantage over Leash, and Galway will be looking for a big backlash. They welcome Westmead out in Pearse, 6 p.m. throw in. So I suspect Galway and Shefflin will still be foaming at the mouth at their inability to make their dominance count against Wexford. And then I suppose for Kilkenny, well, there's an ominous sense of confidence since the latter stages of the league. Some would say they're back. Kilkenny would say they never went away. Probably a foregone conclusion in these two matches, and it's just a case of just get through it, get the points on the board, and come out of it with no injuries for both Kilkenny and Galway.
Maybe so, but I tell you, Brian Cody is definitely showing full respect anyway to the Leash guys, because their forward line is John Donnelly, Patrick Walsh, Wally Walsh, Billy Ryan, TJ is back full forward, and Owen Cody. Like, that will probably be that's probably their best forward line, you know. And Adrian Mullen there in midfield. Like, I just feel that Brian Cody realised, right, I have to get my best team on the field now. TJ and the lads, John Donnelly and these lads came on, you know, against Westmeath, finish off the job, you know, had a very, very comprehensive victory for a finish while Westmeath hung in for a long time. But I just think Brian Cody is looking at this to say, get my best team on the field, get them used to playing each other, because on the 1st of May, above in Salt Hill, it's Galway and Kilkenny, and it really, like, that is a huge, huge game, because if Kilkenny can get one over on Galway there, you know, Galway will be under serious pressure to get out of Leinster then because of the draw against Wexford. So Kilkenny are going very strong. Galway, I think Galway's biggest worry at the moment, Shane, is Conor Whelan. He didn't look good coming off the pitch the last day, suspected hamstring injury. And like, Galway were 6 points up when he went off, Shane, and they had no focal point, they had no guy to win prime position or even hold up the ball up there when he went off. And look what happened. Wexford came back into the game. They roared back into the game. Matt Hanlon had a massive last quarter, as did Liam Ryan and these guys, because they didn't have to worry about Conor Whelan. So he's the biggest worry. If they can rest him this week, they'll definitely need him back for the Kilkenny game to try and get a result, I think.
Absolutely. Well, Shane McGrath, pleasure as always. Lots to look forward to this weekend in hurling. And of course, there are fixtures in the Joe McDonagh, Chrissy Ring, Nicky Rackard and Laurie Marr. And you can stay up to date with all of the weekend's hurling matches across Saturday Sport and Sunday Sport on RT Radio 1. Well, from hurling to Gaelic football, Neil Ewing, I should say, will be with us in a few moments. So stay with us.
RTE
2FM. On 2FM with Green Farm. B vitamins equal big benefits. The new Green Farm added benefits range is packed with essential B vitamins. Available in store now.
Game on.
Gaelic football.
So as we turn our attention to Gaelic football, I'm joined by Neil Ewing. 6 championship games this weekend. Tomorrow sees the meeting of Antrim and Cavan in Corrigan Park. And then on Sunday, a trio of Leinster senior football championship matches, along with 2 big ones in Ulster and Connacht, respectively, with Donegal and Armagh facing off in Ballybuffet. And the big one out west, Mayo host Galway in Castlebar. Neil, let us go day by day and sure we can start and end our chat with Ulster football. So firstly, Corrigan Park is the venue, really nice setting for a match that the away team, Cavan, seem to be a lot of people's favourites. But how do you see it?
Shane, I suppose firstly on Corrigan Park, probably quite a unique venue for an inter-county game, but there's been a lot of talk about the venue. I think some credit has to go to the St. John's Club there in Belfast. It really is an amazing facility for a club, and not only the pitch and the work they've done on the stand, you know, they have a lovely indoor facility there as well. So I think with all the talk about Corrigan Park, it's kind of looked down on, but we have to commend the St. John's Club on all the work they have done there. This game, I think maybe the Cavan County Board went off on a little bit of a solo run with their objection to the venue, that it appeared as if maybe the management and the players weren't aware of that objection, and that's probably put a little bit of extra pressure on the Cavan squad that wouldn't have been there if there was no noise around the venue. Cavan, not particularly impressive despite their promotion from Division 4, struggled through some games, caught out by Tipperary in the league itself. But I just think they probably will have a little bit too much for Antrim. Just strange during the week to see Ricky Johnston, stalwart for Antrim at full back, probably would have been in line to pick up Calvin's danger man, Patrick Lynch, inside. He left the panel to go to the US. And I think when Enda McGinley came in, he just seemed to have changed the attitude around that Antrim squad and stop some of those defections from panels and lads walking away. You know, there's a big pick of players in Antrim, a lot of quality players. He seemed to have them all on board, but not very encouraging to see that happening over the last number of weeks, to lose a few players. I think a bit of a goalkeeping crisis as well. Chris Kerr, I think I'm joking, but he could be approaching 50, but I think he's brought back into the panel. So I suppose, yeah, based on that little bit of upheaval in the Antrim panel, you would just fancy Cavan with some of their other quality players around the pitch. Some excellent defenders at the back, Killian Brady, and Cardam Kiernan is always good for a few scores in the half-forward line. So yeah, you'd have to fancy Cavan in that one, I think.
Okay, moving on to Sunday and moving down to Leinster, if we briefly go through 3 fixtures. Carlow v Louth in Navan at 2:30. Mickey Hart's men are really on the march now after successive promotions. Carlow had a poor league campaign in Division 4, only winning a single game. Dare I say, Neil, this is a case of how much Louth will win by, or am I being a bit unfair on Carlow there?
Yeah, it's probably a little unfair on Carlo. They had a terrible start to the league, just injuries and unavailability, it seems. They turned it around a little bit, maybe not in terms of getting a lot of results toward the end of the league, but definitely performance-wise. But I do agree, Loud should be a step ahead. You know, they're flying at the minute. You can see the players are really invested in what Mickey Hart and Gavin Devlin are doing, playing to a very obvious game plan. And, you know, I think they'll be looking to get over this Carlow game. And I think for Loud, a successful championship would be maybe taking a scalp later down the road in Leinster. Or, you know, they'll be looking at really putting it up to some of the bigger teams in the back door if that's where they do end up. You know, they're a Division 2 team now, so if that's the level they aspire to sustaining themselves at, that's the kind of championship they should be hoping to have.
Okay, Wexford, Offaly 3 p.m. down in Wexford. I suppose Offaly should have too much for Wexford.
I'm not so sure, Shed. I think there's a possibility of a surprise in this one. You know, I'm very interested to see what Shane Roach has prepared Wexford for, how he's going to set them up. We seen when they played against Dublin first round of the championship last year. Shane Roach, you know, he had done a lot of work with the team on the training pitch. They, you know, really put it up to Dublin well into the second half. Offaly then on the other side, they just have no momentum at all, I think. You know, they were obviously beaten in that last league game against Cork, that must-win game, but I think they were particularly poor against Roscommon in the second last league game. They're under-20s beaten also on Wednesday, you know, so that can just drain energy from a panel. I suppose the only possible plus side with their under-20s being beaten Wednesday is, does it free up some, and it may even be just two or three lads to join the senior panel and play that they may otherwise have kept for that under-20 championship. But yeah, having to go down to Wexford Park just with confidence low, I wouldn't rule out a shock in this one. I think Wexford might just show something.
Okay, certainly right for asking a leading question, Neil. So Wicklow versus Laois will be a bit more to the point. Who do you fancy for this one?
Fancy Laois in this one. I know Wicklow probably a little re-energised after a management change halfway through the league. Laois, really encouraging start to the year, came out the wrong side of a few tight games in Division 3, but I think they'll be sore after that disappointing league campaign. You know, they'll have a point to prove, and I think there's enough quality in Laois to definitely get over this game. And you know, if they do end up in the Tailteann Cup, they're a team that could be targeting silverware further through the summer. And you know, maybe that poor league campaign could spur them to something.
Okay, well, moving out west to the Connacht Championship, Mayo v Galway in Castlebar at 4 p.m. Listen, these are two teams that exchange winning runs, really. Mayo have won the last three championship games between them, and Galway have won the previous three. Personally speaking, I'm just hoping it's as entertaining as their last meeting in Croker with that Mayo comeback, and hopefully it is a full 70 minutes of entertainment. We did get a bit of Mayo team news before we came on air. So James Horan has made four changes, most notably Killian O'Connor is named the start at corner forward, filling the void left by O'Shea's move to the middle of the park, with Jason Doherty on the edge of the square and James Carr in the other corner. So we have the Mayo team. Who do you fancy for this one? Because there's a lot of pressure on Mayo, as always, that there is. And there's also a bit of pressure on Pádraig Joyce and Galway.
Yeah, to be honest, I think there's a lot more pressure on Pádraig Joyce and Galway in this one. You know, this is what Pádraig Joyce's third campaign with Galway now. I know when he came in, he was, you know, quite vocal about he was there to win an All-Ireland with Galway, and that was their target. You know, they haven't won a Connacht Championship under him. It's probably, you know, a game that's going to define Pádraig Joyce's era in Galway. Mayo, on the other hand, I think, you know, probably for James Horan coming back in, probably didn't expect to be in the last two All-Ireland finals, overachieved a little bit. You know, a Connacht title isn't going to be the be-all, end-all of their year. For Galway, you know, to have any aspiration of winning an All-Ireland, I think they're going to have to go through the front door. I think if Galway are beaten Sunday, they're not going to be able to negotiate beating a provincial winner in an All-Ireland semi-final as they come through the back door. Pádraig Joyce, I think, probably has to make a little bit of a trade-off and maybe strike a balance between, you know, the attacking football that I think he would ideally like to play and maybe some of the pragmatism that Paddy Talley was able to instill in Galway when he was in there along with Kevin Walsh. I think just at times they've just left themselves a little bit too open at the back, and particularly when they're facing Mayo, I think if they're just a little bit savvy defensively, Mayo probably don't have, you know, six top quality forwards that are going to do damage. You know, they can probably lock down two or three of the Mayo forwards. Mayo probably aren't going to put up a big score. You know, Mayo's running game is their real danger, and if Galway don't leave those gaps at the back, I think Mayo could struggle to get the scores to beat them. Galway also have won the last two meetings in McHale Park in the Championship as well. Killian O'Connor named to start, you know, very interesting. I suppose Mayo have named a 15 to start. Will that be the 15 that's on the pitch for Tralee? That's another question. I think Kevin McLaughlin probably hasn't been on top form when he came in. I suppose halfway through the league, probably struggling a little bit for form. Jermaine O'Connor there on the bench. Is that a change that could maybe happen before throwing? I suppose Jack Kearney and Fergal Boland, two other fellas that will probably be disappointed after a league campaign is not to start, particularly Jack Kearney. Is it a case that maybe James Horan has protected him on his debut and might just throw him in just before throwing so he doesn't have to deal with that in the build up to the game? I think there's a few possibilities there. But yeah, the matchups in this one as well are going to be very, very interesting. I think particularly whoever Pádraig Ó Thuaidh picks up, you imagine he's probably going to be left with either Damien Comer or Shane Walsh. We all seen what happened between Pádraig Ó Thuaidh and Shane Walsh in the Connacht final in Croke Park last summer. Probably left a sour taste in the mouth for Pádraig Joyce and all Galway supporters. The whole country probably seen Pádraig Ó Thuaidh, David Clifford in the league final recently. So I'm sure David Coldrick, and not only David Coldrick, but his linesman and his umpires, you know, they're going to have a keen eye on what's happening off the ball on Sunday as well. And it just could be interesting how that one develops.
Absolutely. And lastly, Neil, we'll go out the same way we came in with Ulster football. Donegal v Armagh, open Ballybuffet tomorrow at 2 p.m. Donegal, of course, ran out 1-point winners when the sides met 4 weeks ago. I suppose that Donegal showed their hand in the league campaign. Did Armagh show too much? And we've had the appeals and the suspension saga since. It's set up for what hopefully will be a cracker.
Yeah, I think the stuff with the suspensions and not just in this case, but in all the recent GA disciplinary issues, just a bit of a farce. And you know, when I thought about this game Sunday, you just think of that Ballybuffet and that tunnel that comes out from the dressing rooms right under the stand, or you have to go underground. There's probably not a tighter tunnel in the country, and I just hope on Monday or Sunday evening that there's no nonsense talk about messing, and lads, I suppose, just show a little bit of common sense and it make it about the football. Not to make this game about management teams, but I think similar to Pádraig Joyce with Galway on Sunday, for Declan Bonner and Stephen Rochford, this is the defining, it really is a defining game. I think, you know, if they're beaten in this one, again, they're not a team that's going to go on and win an All-Ireland through the back door, so it's hard to see how they maybe stay on after this year if they don't win at least an Ulster Championship. Kieran McGeaney, similarly then, you know, you have to admire, he's done amazing work with that Armagh team. You can see the players really love playing for him. Got them up through the leagues to Division 1, but his Ulster Championship record with the Armagh team is particularly poor. I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. In that I think Armagh might actually have shown a bit too much during the league, and Donegal haven't shown their hand fully. Armagh, you know, it was such a high profile game, that first game against Dublin. You know, it really gave everybody an opportunity to see how they wanted to play those long crossfield balls. Donegal, I think, you know, they're going to have had the head down in preparation the last few weeks. They're going to set up, they're not going to allow Armagh play that game. And Donegal, while they're quite methodical in their play, we've probably seen if they can slow a game down, you know, work that hand passing game. We've seen against Tyrone in the league where they were able to just, you know, come out the right side of a scoreline that they probably weren't even the better team in. So, yeah, maybe Armagh shown maybe too much too early, and they probably needed to do that to stay in Division 1. But does that play right into Donegal's hands? Again, a few interesting matchups here. Will Aidan Foraker pick up Michael Murphy? if Michael Murphy's out around the middle, that gives Aidan Forker an opportunity to maybe turn the screw, and you know, he's well able to attack. But if Michael Murphy goes into the full back line, Aidan Forker's going to need a little bit of help there, because physically Murphy is definitely going to have the edge on him in the air. Then Rian O'Neill, who picks him up? You're probably looking at Brendan McCall, but you know, can he keep him quiet for 70 minutes? I think Rian O'Neill is a very, very talented player. Probably not the type of guy that is going to get on an awful lot of balls during a game and do a consistent amount of damage, but still could come out of a game with kicking 1-3, 1-4 from play, which is exactly what Armagh want from him on Sunday.
Absolutely, will be interesting to see how that one goes. If you're looking for more GA chat, don't forget the Championship with Damien Lawler returns to the airwaves tonight over on RT Radio 1 at 10 p.m, where you can get even more expert insights ahead of the weekend's GA action. But Neil Ewing, thank you very much. And indeed, don't forget, you're looking for more sport on Radio 1. Radio 1 Extra has live commentary of Ulster Rugby versus Munster Rugby from 7:30 this evening. Paddy Wallace joins Michael Corcoran for that one. But we're going to turn our attention to football in 90 seconds time. So don't go away.
RTE
2FM.
Game on.
On 2FM with Green Farm. Green Farm's new added benefits range is enriched with all your B vitamins, which are essential for your health and well-being. Available in store now.
Game on.
Football.
Hey, you're very welcome back to Game on this Friday evening, as we turn our attention to football in the company of Alan Colley and Fergal Brennan. A big night in the League of Ireland and a big weekend in the Premier League. I suppose the standout fixture in the League of Ireland is indeed the Dublin Derby between Bohemian Football Club and Shamrock Rovers, and RTE soccer correspondent Tony O'Donoghue has the latest from Dalymount.
There are plenty of Dublin derbies in the Premier Division this season, but this is the one that consistently sells out weeks in advance. You could say it's Dublin's hottest ticket. But the only thing consistent about the host, though, is their inconsistency. And Bo's boss Keith Long will be hoping to follow up on their 4-1 away win to nearest neighbour Shelburne on Monday with another good performance against the champions Shamrock Rovers. The last meeting of these two sides ended in a narrow victory for the Hoops, courtesy of a Rory Gaffney goal, but Bows have plenty of firepower themselves. What they need to do is to stop conceding late goals that have robbed them of precious points against Derry, Drogheda and Finn Harps. James Finnerty and Stephen Mallon continued their recovery from injury, unlikely to be involved tonight though. For the visitors, they've been using all the talent available in their deep and capable squad. Republic of Ireland International Graham Burke is ready to return. Rovers, as you say, have reduced the gap on leaders Derry from 6 points to 1 over the bank holiday weekend. Expect fireworks again this evening in front of a full house at Dalymount Park. Kick-off here is at 7:45.
Tony O'Donoghue, thank you very much. Indeed, there are many Dublin derbies in this year's Premier Division, which is great to hear. Alan Colley, you are going to be one of the spectators at a sold-out Dalymount Park. How do you see this one going?
The only show in town, Shane. The only show in town. I can't wait. If we could market the league on these fixtures alone, Shane,
yeah,
we would be selling out stadiums all over the country. But it is. It's a brilliant fixture, and it's lived up to those expectations over the last 3 or 4 years, particularly the fact that, I suppose, since Bohemians have become a lot better and challenged Rovers more. So I'm looking forward to the game tonight. The only thing I would say about it in terms of Shamrock Rovers is it's certainly looking ominous for all the other teams when you look at their last 7 games, Shane. They've won 5 and drawn 2. They've only conceded 3 goals in those 7 games as well. So they're certainly hitting top form after a patchy start by their standards. Bohemians, on the other hand, as Tony said in his report, they're very inconsistent. Mm. But what's killing them at the moment is the draws, 6 draws, particularly against the likes of, as I say, Finn Harps and Shamrock Rovers, Finn Harps and UCD, teams down the bottom. You need to be beating the likes of those teams if you're going to challenge at the top. So it just depends on what Bohemians show up. You would like to think they'll come into the game in a lot of confidence off the back of obviously them beating your beloved Shelburne on Monday, Shane, and hopefully that's the case, because they have put it up to Shamrock Rovers, as I say, over the last 2 or 3 seasons. Always, as I said, they've lived up to the expectation. They've been absolutely brilliant to games, and hopefully tonight is no different. But I would probably just favour Shamrock Rovers.
Okay, good stuff. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I want one word answer. So, Bows Rovers, you've already given a prediction for that. Next up, Derry v UCD.
Derry.
Pats Harps.
Pats.
Dundalk Shells.
Draw.
Happy days, I'll take that. And tomorrow, Sligo host Drogheda.
Drogheda.
Oh, okay.
Because I watched Sligo on Monday and were dreadful.
Okay.
And Drogheda have been, Kevin Doherty's been doing a good job in recent weeks.
Yeah, so. I think six unbeaten now, so fair play to Kevin Doherty. Just a note on Dundalk Shells. Dundalk will be wearing a one-off jersey to raise awareness of motor neurone disease, and a hat tip to Conan Byrne for this stat. But the Shells goalkeeper, Brendan Clark's uncle, Sean Byrne, was a Dundalk legend in the late 70s, early 80s. Sean sadly passed away from motor neurone disease in 2003. So fittingly, it's Shells who are the opponents for Dundalk this evening. Okay, moving on to the Premier League. And Alan, I've a lovely segue for you here. So, now I have to say this is from football journalist Neil O'Riordan. So, new Manchester United assistant manager Mitchell van der Gaag was Maritimo manager when they beat Sporting Fingal 6-4 on aggregate in the Europa League in 2011. He was sacked within 2 months. So, there's a nice segue for you, Alan.
I saw the tweet that he put up yourself today.
So, as we welcome Fergal Brennan into the conversation. Fergal, I won't be asking you about Sporting Fingal. You'll be pleased to hear. We will start with the Premier League. 12:30 Saturday, Arsenal versus Manchester United. I suppose two teams coming into this with opposite running of form.
Yeah, Arsenal doing really well in midweek to get themselves back on track. Three defeats on the run going into facing a difficult situation at Chelsea. And I know, obviously, Thomas Tuchel is trying to manage the sanctions and the impact that's having on his team and the wider environment. But to go away to Chelsea on the back of losing three games and all the questions that were being fired at Arteta and these Arsenal players, and go away and win and now put themselves not in the box seat for top four, but now get themselves back into a position whereby they're strongly able to challenge United and challenge Tottenham in the weeks to come is a big, big thing for Arteta and Arsenal. Looking at their fixture running, obviously United this weekend, they do still have to play Spurs between now and the end of the season, but the old adage, if you want to be the best, or in this case not the best, if you want to be the fourth best, then you need to beat the fifth and sixth best. I think that's the kind of logic that the managers of those two teams are going for. So it's going to be a big challenge for Arsenal in the next couple of weeks, but that was a huge result in midweek against Chelsea, and they'll be ready for United. It's difficult to call how this weekend will go because there's a lot of air of positivity around them with the Ten Hag announcement being confirmed, but you've got a lot of players now that are potentially playing for their futures, and if they react to that positively, they could beat Arsenal. If they react to that negatively and think, well, I'm out the door anyway, or I'm sick of the situation that I'm operating under here, then that will play into Arsenal's hands. How, unfortunately for Ralph Rangnick, he manages that by proxy for Erik Ten Hag will probably decide this game tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll be interesting to see, especially it's so crucial for that top four fight and who will get that crucial fourth place. Alan, I want to talk about the title race, though, because Manchester City face Watford at 3 p.m. tomorrow, and that means if they do win, they could go 4 points clear of Liverpool, who, of course, face Everton on Sunday. What will the top two look like in terms of points, and how will results go, do you feel, after this weekend's games?
I think it'll be more of the same, Shane, to be honest with you. I think both teams will win at the weekend. Obviously, Man City tomorrow have their first opportunity against Watford. I can't see any problems for them against Watford, to be honest with you. And if you look at their fixtures, they've Leeds to come after that, obviously the European games in between. But the only place that I can see Man City slipping up really is possibly the last two games, Shane, West Ham and Villa. The other games, as I say, I think they'll beat Newcastle. They've Leeds away in between as well, tomorrow's game and that Newcastle game in the league. I think they'll beat Leeds as well. So the only place I can see them slipping up is that last two. I think Liverpool, on the other hand, will win all their games up to that point as well. But I do think Man City will slip up in one of them. And so I think Liverpool will win the league.
Liverpool win handy on Sunday against Everton.
Yeah, Everton are dreadful. I watched them again even during the week, and the late goal, obviously, Richarlison. They should have been beaten by Leicester. Leicester played very well. I think even Brendan Rodgers said it's probably very, very close to the levels and the standard that they've reached over the last couple of seasons. But they should have been out of sight. Everton, to be fair, they hung in. Seamus Coleman actually played very well the other night. Richarlison missed a couple of good chances near the end, and Eddie scuffed one into the net. But I think watching Burnley last night as well, I think Everton are a major trouble, Shane.
Burnley could leapfrog them. Of course, they're playing earlier on Sunday. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff, at home to Wolves. Big London derby as well. Chelsea, West Ham on Sunday as well. But Fergal, I want to finish our football chat with, I suppose, going back to that crucial battle for fourth position and Brentford v Spurs in a London derby as well. Good news story as well. Christian Eriksen is likely to be lining out for Brentford against Spurs.
Yeah, it is. And his impact since he's come back to Brentford in the Premier League has been fantastic. I think, I'd have to double check this, I think they do still have the record that every Premier League game he's started, they've won. And they've hit that little patch of form that they needed right at the perfect time to make sure that there was no last minute nerves in the final few weeks of the season. They're now pretty much guaranteed absolute safety, and he's just offered a reminder of the absolute quality that he's got. There's a big decision for him, Thomas Frank and Brentford to make in the summer, because he's only on a short-term deal at the Brentford Community Stadium. But that spark in a Brentford team which has been enjoyable to watch and has been impressive is noticeable. He's dragged up the level of the players around him. He's dragged up maybe even the expectation of the fans over the last couple of weeks. And he's a fantastic player. But the decision now will be made this summer from him, from his representatives of what he's going to do. And there's even talk that he might even go back to Spurs. I think that might be a bit of a stretch. I know he was quite successful under Antonio Conte at Inter Milan. But it'll be an interesting game this weekend. He's really fondly remembered by the Spurs fans. He didn't leave under a cloud or anything like that. But they themselves, just like Arsenal, just like Manchester United, will be focused on getting into the top four. I think they'll win, and I think the top four will probably be decided by the North London derby next month.
Okay, will be interesting to see how it goes. Fergal Brennan, thank you very much. Alan, we finished our League of Ireland chat with some quickfire questions, and I have a text in here. 51552 is the number if you do want to get in touch, and it reads, ask Alan what three teams are going to be relegated from the Premiership. So instead of one word answers, three words in your answer, please, Alan.
Well, the bottom two is easy. Norwich, Watford. I probably have to give a little bit of reasoning as to the other one, Shane. And yep, I'm going to go for Burnley to actually stay up. I think everything could be relegated. Looking at them last night again, or Wednesday night, they were terrible. You look at the games that Burnley have to come as well. They don't have to play any of the top teams, only maybe Spurs, but none of the big boys. I think Burnley could get out of it.
Okay.
So will Everton, Watford, Norwich, to answer your text.
Okay. Will be interesting to see how that one goes. Alan Colley, enjoy Dalymount Park.
I'm looking forward to it, Shane, yeah.
Trying to make a 45-minute journey.
You enjoy Orient
probably
Park.
75 minutes up the M1 to Dundalk. But listen, pleasure as always chatting. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. Lots more still to come on Game On. We have Jane Mangan, Gavin Casey and John Kenny to come on horse racing, boxing and swimming. Stay with us.
RTE 2FM. On 2FM with Green Farm. Green Farm's newest chicken and turkey range is full of B vitamins, which play a vital role in maintaining good health and well-being. Available in store now.
Game on 2FM.
Hey, you're very welcome back to the final part of Game On this Friday evening as we turn our attention to horse racing now in the company of Jane Mangan.
Game on.
Racing.
Yes, Shane, while I am looking forward to seeing you and all the Game On team as part of the Roadcaster, which hits Punchestown next week for the Punchestown Festival, there is a small matter of this weekend to contend with first. Tomorrow, Sandown is the last day of the National Hunt season in the UK. Brian Hughes is about to be crowned for the second time champion jockey in the UK after notching up over 200 winners this season. An Irish conditional, Kevin Brogan, is the champion conditional in the UK. Paul Nicholls retaining his trainer's crown. But there's good racing there tomorrow. The Oaksea Chase has attracted a disappointing field of four. Mr. Fisher and St. Calvados look to dominate there. The Celebration Chase, just five runners in that, and it looks like it could be between Nubra Negra and Grenatine. The Bet365 Gold Cup, a.k.a. a handicap chase, Enrillo is top of the market, but Win My Wings and Kitty's Light dominated the Scottish National. They might just dominate here as well. An Irish contingent of two in there, including Streets of Doyen for John McConnell, who's fresh from his Scottish champion hurdle triumph at Ayr. I'll be at Navan tomorrow, where I think the feature will be the Vintage Crop Stakes, won last year by Baron Samedi. He's back to defend his crown. This race has been won by some of the greats. Yates has won it twice, Fame and Glory won it twice, and Search for a Song is the star attraction in here. She's the Jewel Classic winner, twice a St. Ledger winner. Princess Zoe is a fan favourite. Kyprios in there for Aidan O'Brien. But Baron Samedi is your defending champion. And if we are thinking ahead to Punchestown, starts on Tuesday. Brilliant horses. I see Galvin confirmed now for Wednesday's Gold Cup against Clan de Zabo, against Manila Indo, and of course Alaho stepping up to 3 miles. Him, and throw in the likes of Honeysuckle, Dysart Dynamo, Facile Vega, all those horses coming back from Cheltenham to be seen out for their final outing of the season at Punchestown. If you can't make it, do tune into the RTE coverage, but I'd love to see you at the venue with the Roadcaster.
Game on.
Racing.
Indeed, we would. And pop down if you are there. Sticking on the subject of racing, time to announce our competition winner. Earlier in the show, I asked what horse took her unbeaten tally to 15 at Cheltenham and will aim to make it 16 in the Punchestown Champion Hurdle. The answer was, of course, Honeysuckle. And today's winner is Danielle Devery from Galway. So many congratulations to Danielle.
Game on.
Boxing.
But now we turn our attention to boxing in the company of Gavin Casey from the42.ie. And Gavin, there is the small matter of Tyson Fury versus Dillian White. You wouldn't think it after all the outside ring stories that have dominated the news headlines. But listen, I want to focus on the fight itself because we've talked at length about the other issues. How good of a fight is this going to be? How big of a fight? And who's going to win it?
I actually think those other issues, Shane, and the Daniel Kinahan stuff to which you allude actually makes it a little bit more interesting in the sense that it's a bit of a wrinkle in terms of how Tyson Fury might have managed his fight week. Like, this is the first time he's fighting in a British ring for 4 years. He would have been eagerly anticipating becoming this massive sporting star and being celebrated as such in his own country. And a lot of his week was dominated by questions from strangers, from mainstream newspapers and so on, about a guy who has been sanctioned by the USA. So if his mind is anywhere else but the ring on Saturday night, he would be removed from it because Dillian White has a left hand that probably ranks up there with anybody in the heavyweight division. So to answer your question, pretty good fight and actually has gotten better in light of that controversy.
Okay. So who are you backing here? What's the smart bet?
I have enough faith in Fury to suggest that he can probably compartmentalise and block out some of that noise from during the week. He's by far the better fighter. He hits actually pretty hard since Stuart Hill and Andy Lee got their mitts on him. So I'd imagine for middle to late rounds, probably.
Okay, good stuff. And you mentioned the other issues I've alluded to. I think the credit has to go to yourself and indeed journalists like Kieran Cunningham for pursuing those stories for many years and now that they have come to light. Gavin Casey, before I let you go, just in a word, bit of Irish interest on the undercard. Kurt Walker against Stefan Nicolay. Can the Lisburn man come away victorious, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, that is the right answer. Gavin Casey, thank you very much.